Take your Bibles now and go to the Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, we'll be reading this morning responsively the first nine verses. Numbers chapter 12. Verses 1 through 9, we'll read them responsively. I'll read verse number 1, you'll join me on verse 2, all the way through verse number 9. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then ye were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses." And let's read verse number 9 together. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed."
If you'll look at your Bibles, please, and I want to show you a verse that I want to preach on today. Look at verse number 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth." If you'll look at me, I want to preach at you, and you've seen people walk down before, so we don't want to look there. Moses probably was the greatest leader in the Bible outside of Jesus. I know this, there wasn't a greater leader in the Old Testament for sure. Probably the only leader in the Bible who ever led as well or as many was Jesus. You have to understand, God used Moses to lead somewhere in the ballpark of 3.5 to 5 million people out of the bondage of Egypt to the Promised Land. He did that without a television. He did it without a computer. Did it without a PA system. Did it without even a cell phone. Can you imagine leading 3.5 to 5 million complaining Jews in the Arabian Peninsula, which is where Saudi Arabia is today? And for 40 years, put up with them. He had to make sure they had food. Had to make sure they had water. You think it's hard going to the grocery store for your family. Imagine groceries for 3.5 to 5 million people and no store to buy it in. And then put up with people because they didn't like the menu. Miriam and Aaron are the older brother and sister to Moses. Moses in chapter 11, and you don't need to take time to turn there. The load had gotten too much, and he appointed 70 leaders under him. They called them elders. They were going to kind of split up the duties, and then those 70 would come and report to Moses to try to take some of the load off of him. And Aaron and Miriam get a little mad, and they said, "Look, is Moses the only person God's going to speak to? Moses thinks he's hot stuff. We're just as important as Moses is." God was listening. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that God came down in the pillar of cloud and said, "Aaron and Moses and Miriam, meet me out in the tabernacle of the congregation." How'd you like to get, you know, getting called to the principal's office is one thing, but getting called out by God is another thing. You know, there's nowhere to hide. They went out, and God stood in the door of the tabernacle and said, "Miriam and Aaron, come here. They went from everybody to three. Now it's two in God. And the Bible says that God looked at them and started talking to them from that pillar of cloud and said, look, I speak through dreams and visions through my prophets. And they're important. But Moses is not a prophet. He said, Moses is different. And when I talk to Moses, I talk to him mouth to mouth. Talk to him face to face. He said, what Moses does is a bit more important in some ways just to get your carcass to where it needs to go. Now, whatever he says, do it and keep your mouth shut about it. Got it? Now, that wasn't in the Bible, but I kind of added that. They criticized Moses, but God took care of business. But I want you to notice something about this. Verse number 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Meekness. This is a word or a character trait that most people do not understand. Meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness is not floating along or going with the flow of things. Moses was, by the way, you don't lead 3.5 to 5 million people through the desert in the wilderness for 40 years by being a spineless, mealy-mouthed little wimp. Moses had to have a little chutzpah. Means a little oomph. For us rednecks, that means he had a little yeehaw, all right? He understood what that meant. The word meek does not mean, well, I'm just going to float through life and take what happens. And I'm not going to get real excited and I'm not going to get real down. I'm just going to kind of go through life as it happens. That is not meekness. Moses, let me say it this way. Moses was not a man without a bad temper. Moses had such a bad temper that while he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt, he took his very own two hands and killed a man. You don't do that just because you're spineless. I've been angry a few times, never enough to actually hurt somebody like that. You have to have a pretty bad temper to be able to kill somebody. You find that in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. He also got so mad that, you might not believe this, but after 40 days on the mountain, and he had two tables of stone where God wrote the law, and God gave the blueprints for the tabernacle, he came down and the children of Israel were took all their clothes off, were dancing to a golden calf as a false god. Moses got so mad at the people of God that he took the two tables of stone and threw them on the ground and broke them. He broke the word of God. You say, why? He was ticked off. Yes. He was angry. Then he got so mad he ground up the golden calf, put it in the water, and made the people drink the water. Take that. Then, another place, Moses got so mad at the Jews, he said, God, just kill them all. You can kill me too, but just, I'm tired of it, I'm done with it, kill them all. He was ready for God to kill the entire race of people. Another time, he got so angry at the people complaining because they didn't have the water they wanted and the food they wanted that God said for him to speak to the rock that gave them water. Moses was so angry that he took his rod and he smote the rock. The water came, but that very event caused Moses not to be able to go into Canaan. He said, you disobeyed me. I told you to speak to the rock. You already smote it once. Because according to John chapter 3, that rock was Jesus. And he was only to be smitten once and spoken to thereafter. That's why Jesus didn't have to come back and get crucified every time somebody needs to get saved. Now, Moses had a bad temper. Meekness then does not mean somebody that can't get wound up. And yet, God says of Moses, look at it. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. As of the life of Moses, God said he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. That says something. Why would God call this man with this bad temper the meekest man on the face of the earth? I want to talk to you today about that topic of meekness. Number one, meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. You can chase the word down in any lexicon you want, any good dictionary you want. You'll find many different definitions, but the true definition of the word meekness is the word tamed, T-A-M-E-D. In other words, meekness is you taming yourself. My brother and sister-in-law have had thoroughbred equestrian horses for years. I happen to know just a little bit about it. But when you train a horse, they in horsemanship, they use a term, you meek a horse. You see, a horse has wild energy. Did you know a wild horse has no use to man unless you meek him first? You have to bring that wildness under control for that horse to be of any use to any person. You are actually meeking the horse. First, you have to train him to get a lead on him and be able to follow you. And then you got to get a bridle and a bit in there. And then you got to try to break them and ride them. And then you train them for whether you want them just as a workhorse or a jumping horse or whatever you're going to use them for. And you have to break them down and train them or tame them for what you want them to do. May I say this? You are not removing their strength. You are harnessing their strength. You are not eliminating their strength. You're getting their strength under control. That is what meekness is. Meekness is you taming yourself and harnessing all that wildness and not letting it run wild. Meekness is a decision of the will to make oneself stay under control and not go wild. Well, preacher, I just have a short fuse. Well, sweetheart, your fuse isn't any shorter than anybody else's. You just keep it next to the flame. You choose to lose it. Well, I just lost my temper. That's the problem. You lost it. You didn't choose when to use it. It is a decision of the will. Well, this person just makes me so mad. I just lose it all the time. No, you don't control yourself. You've not meeked yourself. Somebody say amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Yeah, the old coon dog's on trail. Got you in the tree. We're gonna shoot a while. Amen. Did you know it takes more strength to stop or to restrain something than it does to let it loose? You can watch a man tie a chain to the front of a 18-wheeler. He can take that chain and he can pull it and get it moving. You put that 18-wheeler at 70 miles an hour down the road and have him stand there and try to stop it. It takes more strength to stop it than it does to start it. It takes more strength to stop running your mouth than it does to let it fly. That's why in the New Testament it says, can any man tame the tongue? Control the tongue. What is that? That's meeking your words. Did you know I shouldn't say everything that goes on in between my ears? And you better be glad I don't. Did you know that everybody can blow up when they're angry? It's not strength because you can lose your temper. It's not strength because you can scream and holler. It's not strength so that, you know, you can see the veins in your neck pop out and your face turn red and looks like you're going to keel over dead with a heart attack because you're screaming so loud, so angry. That's not strength. If you have to scream, I'm the boss, follow me, you are not the leader. Moses spent 40 years working on fixing or taming his temper. You realize there was a 40-year gap between when Moses murdered a man before he started leading the children of Israel? He spent it on the backside of the desert watching his father-in-law's sheep. What was he doing? He was meeking himself. He was getting to where he could lead without losing his temper. That's why God said, after 40 years in the wilderness, by the way, the same wilderness where he was leading the Jews around in, Moses knew what was in that wilderness. That's where he had been a shepherd. And God says he's a meek man. He's wild. He has enough strength to kill a human being, but he's got himself under control and he's not going to lose it. I want you to notice that in Numbers chapter 12, God got mad at Aaron and Miriam. Moses did not. Did you ever notice that Moses didn't lose it with his brother and sister? Hey, that tells you something. Brothers and sisters are supposed to be able to get along and not lose it with each other all the time. Ouch. And every parent says, amen. Until you're an adult and you still have to get along with them. And everybody said, oh me. You see, Moses was not perfect. But he was controlling himself better than any man on the face of the earth. Moses was known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was next in line to be Pharaoh of Egypt. He could have owned and led all of Egypt after his adopted daddy died. Bible says in Hebrews, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He gave up the wealth of Egypt for the dust and the dirt of the desert. He had meeked himself. We have little to no meekness in our world today. Our schools, our social media, our news media tell us that we should express ourselves. Give your opinion. Well, folks, your opinion is not as valuable as you think it is. Did you know if your opinion's not asked for, keep it to yourself? I'm sorry to say it that way. We're very free with our opinions, even in our own homes. We give it whether it's been asked for or not. Can I tell you something? Keep your opinion to yourself. You're not God, and your opinion doesn't matter so much that you should have the final say in everything. Ouch. How about you tame yourself and meek yourself? You would be less upset in life. Did you realize I don't waste my temper on things that are out of my control? I am not going to get all wound up about Nancy Pelosi. Say why? God's going to shut her big fat mouth up before too awful long. Don't you worry. Did you ever know some of these big liberals are passing away real quick? And it wasn't Hillary this time. I shouldn't have said it. Even the liberals are saying now that the far left in a power grab. Everybody in America is watching what's taking place. You just wait for the election in a few months. You'll find out everything's going to be okay. The president has done everything he said he would do. He's draining the swamp. You say, how do you do that? He doesn't have the power to vote him out, but everybody else does. He just let the swamp come to the top so you could see what was stinking down there. And you know what floats. It's time to clean it up. You say, what? Never mind. I don't know what you were thinking, but I know what I was thinking. Meekness is not weakness. It is tamed strength. Did you know, as you rear your children, well, my child has a bad temper. That's not all bad as long as you get them to learn how to control it. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that doesn't have a temper. But I also wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that doesn't know how to control it. Everybody doing okay? Temper's not a bad thing. You just got to know how to use it and when to use it. There are some things we ought to get upset about. I get upset about people murdering babies and calling it abortion. I can get upset about that. I get upset at the liquor industry. I get upset that we have accepted that drunkenness is a way of life and acceptable. It's wrong, it's filthy, it's vile, it's foolish. I get upset at the drug industry. Illegal as well as legal. I get upset at the liberal mentality and the alphabet soup mentality of the sodomites. The LGBTQ, MICKEYMOUSC crowd. Say why? Because, well, we ought to, you can't decide who you love, says who. Love is a decision. You just want to play God. Number two. So meekness is not weakness. Meekness is tamed strength. Number two, weakness is not the absence of temper or emotion. There are some people who walk through life and you think they have no emotions. Can I tell you something? God gave you your emotions. They're the same emotions God has. But did you ever see God get controlled by his emotions? Moses was angry enough to kill a man. He had a bad temper. I won't ask this. I won't ask, has anybody in here ever killed somebody? I was with a preacher the other day. He said he asked that question and somebody raised their hand. And it was true. So I'm not asking that question, all right? Lord have mercy, I don't want to know, all right? But I doubt anybody in this room has ever been mad enough to actually have taken another human being's life. I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about murder. May I say this? There's no meekness without some emotion or anger present. You cannot have meekness if you don't have the potential to be angry. You don't have meekness if you don't have the potential to be wild with the emotion. There's no need for it. If everything's going fine and you're in a good mood, that's not meekness. Meekness is when the emotion and the anger and the ability to come unscrewed is there and you choose not to unscrew the lid. But that which is causing pressure inside, don't let it go. You're like one of those pressure cookers. When that thing's at full pressure, you don't just take it and go dink like this. You're going to have troubles, Houston. Some of you live your life like that pressure cooker, and every time something comes, you just pop the lid off and it blows up everywhere. And then you got a mess. And you wonder why it happened. It's because that pressure cooker's got a little valve there. You're supposed to lift that valve and let the pressure off slowly before you open it up. That's meekness. You're meeking the pressure in that pot, letting it go to zero pressure so that you can open it and get what's inside. Boy, that's a good statement. Meekness is not being numb or tranquil. Meekness isn't being numb. I didn't say dumb. I said numb. Or a tranquil life attitude. Just because someone's a little shy doesn't mean they're meek. Now, there are some people that aren't public people. I get that. I do. There are men in this room. I don't call on you to come up here and pray in public because you wouldn't come back to church. You don't like being talking in public. Okay. That doesn't mean you're meek. It means you're shy. Everybody doing okay? You have to learn how to do this. I get it. I don't do it by nature. Trust me. You put my wife and I in a cabin on the backside of the mountain with my guns and my bullets, and I could be the happiest man the rest of my life if I never saw another human being. I really could. Amen, Brother Jimbo? Give me enough bullets to shoot the food I need, and I'm happy. The ministry would be great if it wasn't for people, you know? Hey. You got to be, you know, not quite all there to volunteer for the ministry because all you're volunteering for is a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, but that's all right. You see, meekness is not being introverted. It's not being shy. It's not having a tranquil life where everything is smooth. No, meekness is not something that comes naturally. Listen to that statement. Meekness is not a natural character trait of human life. There are not people that are born more meek than other people. I'm going to show you in a second. Are you ready? You say, why? Because meekness goes against our sinful pride. Goes against our sinful attitude of life. Meekness is something that is put on by the will. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12 quickly. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that saved people, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, what's the next word? Meekness, long-suffering. God says, put it on. You know, I can put off my coat and take it off. When I'm in my office working, 98% of the time, I take off my coat. If I have a meeting with somebody, I put on my coat. You say, why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do most of the time. I take it off, I put it on. God says you can put on and take off these things, one of which is meekness. In other words, you decide when you will put it on. We can, by will, decide to use meekness. Or we can, by will, decide we're just going to blow our top. Our flesh will naturally blow the top. Our flesh will naturally run our mouth and then say, I'm sorry for what I said. We don't control it. It is not a decision of the flesh, it's a decision of the will. By the way, the meek are not the loudest ones on the job, but the job always gets done with the meek because they just put their nose to the grindstone and make it happen. They don't complain about it. They don't complain about how bad the boss is and complain about how bad the company is and how bad the boss is and how bad the employees are. No, the meek person just says, I got a job to do. I'm going to get it done. I'll do what I can, while I'm here. Moment it's done, you walk away from it and don't think about it again until the next time you show up to work. You see, meekness is not the loudest person on the job. The person running their mouth at work right now that you work with is not a meek person. even if you're the one running your mouth. Oops. That was a backdoor slap, wasn't it? In other words, meekness is not the absence of temper or emotion. Meekness is the presence of those things, having it under control while those things are present. Parenting children takes meekness. Because there are days you just want to pop their little head off and spit down the hole. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, been there, done that. Then you have children that grow up and become adults. But they want to act like children. Not this one. May I say this? There are times as a parent of an adult child, I have to let him make his mistakes. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm his dad by birth, but I'm not his daddy by authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You say, well, he's always your child. He's also an adult man, and out from under my authority, he doesn't have to listen to me anymore. Some of you, you want your adult children to listen to you, but you don't listen to your mom and dad that are still alive. You want to play God. You're not God. Well, I birthed them. Yeah, but they don't have to listen to you once they start making their own decisions as an adult. I may say, you sure you want to do that? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Oh, okay. I have to bite my tongue. Say why? Because I know where that one's going to end up. If it's real bad, I might say a couple times, are you sure? Are you really sure? Now, as you get wiser in life, when other people say, are you sure? You learn there's consequences to that. Maybe I should listen. But I don't offer my opinion unless he says, why shouldn't I? Everybody doing okay? Say, well, he might make a mistake. Then he's going to learn. That's hard to do because I still know him as the 5-year-old little kid. I still know him as the goofy little junior hire with braces and glasses. I know him as the teenager who was cleaning buses one day with a power washer and decided his feet were dirty and power washed the top of his feet. Now, he only did it once. Yeah, buddy. He found out that's not a wise decision. He got his feet clean. He took the skin right off of them. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes you have to let your children make some mistakes. As they get older, guess what? I have to let him make more mistakes. I can't control his life. I can't. If he got out of church and ran away from God, I can't make him do anything for God. I'm not God. He doesn't have to listen to me. And I shouldn't be put out. I taught him what to do. It's his choice what he does with it. Meekness says you keep your mouth shut and don't put that pressure on him. Boy, that's a good statement. Number three, I got to hurry. Meekness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Proof that it's not something that comes natural. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 23. Well, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. What's the next one? Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you know that meekness comes from the Holy Spirit? Comes from God? Therefore, it's not something that comes naturally. By the way, look at me for a second here. That's why the world has no meekness. That's why all of your news articles or I'm not on social media, but you have a place to put your opinion. Or you buy something and you can give your opinion of it. Some of you spend more time reading everybody else's opinion and go past the truth of the matter. Some of you spend more time giving your opinion about something and it doesn't really matter. Well, I want to read everybody's opinion about what this product is. How about you do your research on it without opinions? Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. Just don't put your friends on the couch, amen? Jesus was meek, but Jesus was not emotionless. Jesus did not lack temper. Jesus was not this sissified little sodomite that walked around and wiggled when he walked saying, peace, 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 peace. Matter of fact, on Palm Sunday, three or four days before they crucified him, he walked into the temple. He had made a whip and he kicked over the tables of the money changers, slapping that whip around, chasing all the money changers out of the temple. I don't think he was saying, okay, fellas, it's time for you to leave. He was kicking them out. Sometimes you got to lose your cool. But it has to be planned. It's no secret. I have been involved in Christian education a long time. I remember. I think you were playing. May not have been while you were on the court, but we were playing in a sports game. I had contacted other schools to come. They knew what rules to live by. They came. Their cheerleader skirts were too short. I said, appreciate you all being here, girls. I pulled out the piece of paper. I pulled out a copy of the letter that was sent to their Christian school principal and said, here's what your principal agreed to live by. And I said, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to cheer tonight. You need to take your coats and put them over your legs so we don't see your thighs. And I bought them all something from the, concession stand, that's the word. I bought them all dinner for the night. I said, you can sit here and cheer, but I don't want you up. I said, there's rules. I said, I'm not mad at you. It's not your fault. Oh, boy. That started the evening off real good. By the way, the girls were fine. It was their leaders that were upset. We got partway through one of the games, and one of their boys started cussing, and then the coach started saying things he shouldn't say, and I walked right out in the middle of the floor. I grabbed the ball. I looked at the referees, and I said, you'll get paid for all of your games tonight. I said, but these games are done. They just forfeited. I said, everybody, it's time to go home. And I looked at their leader, and I said, you got rules from us. You knew exactly what we expected when you came here. We've abided by yours when we were at your place. You're not going to act like that here. This is a Christian school. It's not the world. And you can just go home. Right out in front of God and everybody. There was some temperance going on there. Now, I didn't scream and holler. And by the way, they never played us again. Didn't bother me. Matter of fact, their pastor called my pastor. I had already called my pastor, told him what happened. He said, good for you. He said, it's good for our folks to learn how to take a right stand. He said, thanks. I said, well, just so you know, you're going to get some flack. He said, it's okay. And he did, and it was fine. Did you know that he's not scarred for life because of that? Say why? Because it took a little bit of meekness, took a little bit of oomph. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4 talks about Jesus being meek. In other words, he had those emotions, but he kept them under control. Isn't it amazing how much meekness Jesus had at Calvary? They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They falsely accused him. They ripped his beard out with their hands. They spit in his face. They literally pulled his insides out through his back and put a robe on him to hold him together to get him to where they could lay him down on the dirt and on an old cross and nail him to it and stick it in the air and drop it and hold where every joint came out of place, and he never said a word. That takes meekness. Jesus was totally yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit was controlling him. Meekness does not mean never showing anger or never showing strong emotion. It means choosing when you show it. Your passion is not to be stronger, is not stronger than somebody's else. You just lose control of your passion. Your anger is not quicker or hotter than somebody else's. You just have never controlled your anger. You don't feel deeper than someone else. You just let your feelings control you. I have people regularly say, "Preacher, sometimes it's, I wonder if you have any feelings. You don't realize how deep I do feel." I wish you knew how many times I weep. But I don't let my emotion control me. I choose when to use those emotions. By the way, I feel very deeply. I hurt very deeply. But I don't let that control me. Meekness has all the same emotion, but chooses when to use those emotions and does not dwell on those emotions. I must hurry. Number four, and I'm done. God promises great blessings to those who are meek. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Psalm 37:11 says that the meek shall inherit the earth and delight in the abundance of peace. Say, why is that? They have peace because they did not let emotions wind them up and destroy them, and they were able to conquer their enemy. Peace is a result of war. It's not tranquility. Peace is a result of battle. And the meek know how to battle, not let the battle get to them, and they have peace on the other side. President Trump has peace. Say why? Because he's strong enough not to let the emotions of all the attacks affect him. Are you doing okay? Psalm 147 verse number 6, Psalm 149 verse number 4 says, "The Lord will lift up the meek when they don't feel like being held up." Meek people do not go around seeking attention. They don't go around saying, "Look at me, look what I did." No, that's arrogancy. That's not meekness. Meekness just does what needs done at the time. By the way, God can lift them up because they're under control. God can't lift up somebody out of control. Have you ever tried to break up a fight between two boys, two teenage boys? Man, they're wild. They just have this look in their eye like, you know, they're just totally gone. I've broken up quite a few in my life. And sometimes you just got to get in their face and say, "Look at me." Okay, back to reality. As soon as I can get them to see me, we're in good shape. When they're looking through me, too late. Got to get to where they're looking at me, not through me. You see, I'm going to say something here. Don't get too awful mad. That's where our charismatic friends go wrong. This wild swaying in the wind and feeling led by the Spirit, and they're jumping up and down and flipping and flopping and talking in all kinds of gibber jabber and, "Oh, I felt it. Did you feel the Spirit?" No, that's out of control. It's not been meeked by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it's not the Holy Spirit. "Well, it's wildfire." Yeah, and the Holy Spirit's not wildfire. He's meek powered. He's under control. Everybody doing okay? I got to hurry here. God says that the meek will inherit the earth. You say, why? Because as everybody else kills each other, runs and hides because they're overwhelmed, and protest and depression, they just can't go on. The meek put on the same feelings aside and keep on going and succeed. They don't let the depression affect them. They don't let the excitement affect them. They don't let the anger affect them. They don't let, by the way, they have all those emotions, but they're not run by those emotions, and they keep doing what they're supposed to do, and God says those are the very people that will inherit the earth. Say why? Because they've not allowed all those things to sidetrack them. The Holy Spirit is leading with meekness, and they get through the situations, and they can inherit the earth. By the way, they have the same feelings. They have the same emotions. There are times I feel like running. There are times I don't want to battle. There are times I don't want to answer the phone next because I don't know what tragedy's on the other end. I'll be honest with you, I get tired of the phone calls sometimes. And I'm just like, can I handle another one, God? And he says, yes, you can. Okay. Can I tell you something? That's what meekness is all about. The world lives unrestrained. They live without meekness. The world has taught us that telling a child no is bad and wonder why they're out of control. When I was rearing my kids, we had a meekness term at our house. You've heard it? I know you've heard it a bunch. Yeah! That meant, don't go any farther. You're in trouble. You're about to mess up. My son's 28 years old. Not long ago, he heard me do that. And he said, sir, it's just response. I just want to see if he's still listening. Pizza time. We need to tame ourselves. We need to tame our emotions. We need to tame our anger. We need to let the Holy Spirit be the tamer and the Word of God. How many of you have ever been to a place like SeaWorld where they've trained animals and these giant whales and different creatures? What have they done? They've meeked those animals. That's all they've done. They've tamed them. They've taken wild creatures and tamed them to where they do certain things. God says that's how you're supposed to be in life. And there's your rule book, and those are the things you're supposed to do. And you can put it on just like anything else. Let's learn to be meek. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come forward. We could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. Maybe just raised your hand a moment ago and said, preacher, I need something from that sermon. How about you come kneel at the old-fashioned altar here and get it from God? Whatever your need,